Ever since the departure of the colonial British in 1947, India and Pakistan have fought three wars over Kashmir, a region both of them claim in its entirety. They've had numerous smaller skirmishes. The biggest concern whenever hostilities rise is about how things might end.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. A lot to talk about. Of course, I want to start off with a little bit of discussion, something that truly is a world away or half a world away, but it is an area, you know, my Shangri-La beneath the summer moon of Kashmir, and area that is a powder keg, to be cliched, but yeah, three wars, as the update there from Nikhil Kumar from Westwood One News. Three times since the end of colonial rule, there have been wars for the region of Kashmir that is stuck kind of in the corner, the 90-degree turn there in the mountains where you have Pakistan, India, and China, all with some footprint in that area of the Kashmir, which is, by the way, I mean, just, it's been on my bucket list probably for the last 20, 25 years. I was showing you some pictures this morning.
Amazing, yeah.
Beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. Never been there, would love to go, definitely a bucket list place. Right now, probably don't want to try to make a run at that, as you have, you know, you'll say, oh, why do we care? So, you know, Pakistan, and I get that, because we have so many things here at home to talk about, and we will talk about it. But that's one of those places, one of those four-way intersections of the world, you know, this case in Asia, that has led to problems that have spread outside that region. And it really was the question, and you were asking it during the break, which I think is important, who would side with whom in this? And that's, you know, that's a tough thing, because you've got India, and India, a big, big player out there. India, from time to time, has had allegiances with different countries. I mean, I don't think I have to go any further to say that the one of the jets, Indian jets, that was shot down was a MiG,
right?
In other words, a Soviet jet. So they've had relationships with the Soviets, obviously, United States, big trading partner with here, a lot of immigration here from the Indian subcontinent, and also Pakistan. So Pakistan has been a country, think about it, think about what we've gone through back and forth with, whether the Pakistanis are playing ball with us, are they helping in some of these terrorist, these hunts for terrorists, to think about where bin Laden was taken in Islamabad or nearby. These two countries are, we need both of these countries as allies in that region.
And they hate each other so much.
Very much.
I remember there was a great, you know, Vice, I don't know if they still do their long form documentary show, but
I did enjoy that.
They had India and Pakistan and the border there, where they have, you know, their military marching and defiantly marching against each other, but staying on their sides of the border. Kind of reminds me of like a football rivalry, like Florida and Georgia meeting at the 50-yard line and shouting at each other. I mean, so much hatred between these two. And then it really escalated this week with Pakistan shooting down two Indian jets, fighter jets, and capturing a pilot. And they did say that the Pakistani, I guess, leader said that they would release that pilot that they have captured tomorrow as a peace gesture.
Yeah, goodwill gesture.
And India says that they've also shot down a Pakistani fighter jet. So things have really escalated recently.
Yeah, and there's the, so you've got, and also I think the Indian government said, yeah, you're going to release and return our pilot, and nothing better happen to them or else.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another escalation without defining what else that would mean. See, I mean, things that could be tit for tat for one jet, for another jet, for one pilot, for another pilot, can obviously escalate, and now gunfire breaking out along that border as of the last probably 8 or 10 hours. There has been, you know, with they said some of it's paramilitary troops, because you got the mix there, and then believe me, there are people that are way better educated on the political dynamics in Kashmir than I am, so I'm just a kind of a rank amateur here. But you have official military groups, okay? So you have Pakistani Army, Indian Army, you have paramilitary groups, and you have tribal groups. And all these people are armed. And, you know, if you're a tribal group, you may be living on one side of the border, to the other side of the border, really that doesn't matter. Where you have the regular armies set up from Pakistan and India, but then you have paramilitaries that'll work on both sides in kind of a guerrilla aspect, but working more for they're loyal to Pakistan or they're loyal to India. And then, like I said, you have this kind of warlord thing like we have dealt with in Afghanistan, some degree of that going on. And these mountains of Kashmir, I mean, we're talking about the Himalayan mountain range, mm-hmm. and vast region. Not like you can, people could hole up in there for a very long time and then things can spark back up. So obviously it is a half a world away, and I get that, but there is a great reason to pay attention to this area because it could draw other people in. And I think it's hopefully going to just simmer down today and tomorrow. Maybe we'll put this back on the back burner.
Yeah, it seems like the rest of the world for sure would rather that this does not happen between India and Pakistan, that it doesn't escalate any further. But don't forget, we still have troops in Afghanistan, which is right over there on the Pakistan border. And if things really escalate, hopefully, if U.S. backs India, there wouldn't be any retaliatory strikes from Pakistan, or who would take whose side? Because we've seen in so many conflicts recently that the United States backs one side of a regime or one country right. in a conflict, and then you see Russia and China saddle up with the other team.
You and I talked about the day. It's almost like silly high school stuff. Like that, even the Russians have backed people that they wouldn't normally back just to go, mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So this could become a much bigger deal. Hopefully it does not.
But I, feel for the best interest of the United States. We kind of got to back both of them here. I would say this, if you want to look at who the bigger dog in this battle is, I don't know how many they have. At one point it was, countries report, let's just think about what happened with President Trump trying to negotiate denuclearization with Kim Jong-un. Indians have two dozen or more nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they've admitted to, a couple dozen or more. They've got the nuke.
Yeah, and oil comes into this too, because I was reading up on India right now, and I guess their economy is growing, but they've got high unemployment rates right now, and
so many people,
they're in need of fuel. That's why Prince what's his name from Saudi Arabia, he was just there last week, he visited Pakistan and then visited India and was welcomed with open arms in India. And the United States now, with so much oil output, we certainly wouldn't mind if India came our way with some of that.
I got to update this. I didn't know. Somebody is texting it. It's Pakistan. Do they? Let's see. Does Pakistan have the nuke too? No, it says here. It says they have some ballistic missiles with range in the 1,200 miles. They have more powerful versions under development. It has no nuclear equipped submarines. Well, okay. Well, who cares about that? That's what Pakistan's. Has more plutonium production reactors than India. And they could produce 20 nuclear warheads a year. So thank you, Terry. So there you go. So Pakistan also with the nuke. And of course, the other player in Kashmir, India, Pakistan, and oh yeah, the northern border, China.
Oh.
So that's why a whole hayseed from the Gulf Coast is paying attention to what's going on in Kashmir. All right, 8:15, coming right back. We'll talk some down home taxes on our gas. Yeah, Governor Ivey told us about that yesterday. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this little Friday, Thursday edition of the show. Headlong descent into Fat Tuesday. Add this to your revelry. A note here from our friends over at Cottage Hill Package. They've got their Blue Pants Mark Twain Brewing free tasting going on tomorrow night, Friday night, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the main headquarters, Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. So we've got a triple feature beer tasting going on tomorrow night. Here we go. You've got featured in the lounge will be Blue Pants Brewing and the Mark Twain Brewing Company from Madison, Alabama, keeping it down home. Representative from both breweries going to be on hand to let you sample the following beers: the Blue Pants Amber Ale. They hit a home run there calling their brewery Blue Pants.
Yes.
The word pants and the word trousers are extremely funny to me because I'm perpetually a 12-year-old boy. Blue Pants Amber Ale, their Blue Pants Hop Bursted IPA, Blue Pants Chocolate Oatmeal Porter, their Blue Pants Pilsner, plus my favorite American writer, comedian, thought provoker, Mark Twain. They have their Mark Twain's Huck Finn's Habanero Apricot Wheat Ale.
Wow.
Mark Twain, yeah, a lot going on there. Mark Twain Rambler's Red Ale, Mark Twain's Tom Sawyer Blonde Ale, their Mark Twain Clemens Kolsch Style Ale. Those will all be available for us to take a sample of tomorrow from 6 to 8 in the lounge at Cottage Hill Package. And remember, online, cottagehillpackage.com. Like them on Facebook, you'll get an update on all these great events and the tastiest way to experience it,
mm-hmm,
in person.
And go ahead and stock up for Fat Tuesday.
Get that right.
Joe Kane Day.
Do that. Check them out. Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. All right, grabbed some calls here and got some text. And you and I were looking at a map here during the break. And so you have...
Yeah, we like to have fun around here.
Yeah.
We look at maps.
Yeah, we're looking at the nuke map, right? Mm-hmm. Who has nuclear weapons. And interesting, the Suriname, I think it's Suriname, that, but we'll get to that in a little bit here, but it shows about, so yeah, Pakistan and India, obviously, right there, bordering countries, don't like each other. Right now, skirmish going on over the Kashmir region, and they both got the bomb.
Yeah, scary, scary stuff.
Something we don't talk about. If you grew up in the 80s like I did, you thought about nuclear weapons a lot more, but, you know, on the hinging of the meeting in Hanoi between President Trump and... armored train bad haircut guy, with coming off of that and the attempt to denuclearize North Korea, you start, at least me, thinking about all the countries that still have nuclear weapons, and in a situation like this, they're fighting right now. Two countries that have the nuke are fighting.
And it's somebody smarter than me that knows a lot more about nuclear weapons. I'd like to know what kind of damage could be done, not only to those
Lord,
two. Obviously, they could blow each other off the map, but the surrounding area there.
I just got nauseous when you said that. Derek is in Fairhope up next. Hey, Derek.
Hey, what's going on, man? All right, well, that's a good point that Dalton just brought up. So what they know about, and this could be, if I'm wrong on the low side, is that they, you know, there was estimated at one time that they have about 54, you know, the number is
India or
quite
Pakistan?
High. Both of them combined, because okay, what they have, and this is the bad thing about their nuclear arsenal, is that it's the dirty nukes. So mm-hmm, they have a refining process, but it's not high tech. So the problem is not so much of the nuclear blast, it's the fallout. That's what a lot of people are scared of, because they're not like high-tech nukes where, you know, like I just said, that you're going to have the blast and the fallout's going to travel about 50 miles. No, man, they are dirty, dirty bombs. So if I'm wrong on 54, it's actually the low side, because there was estimates that they have a bunch. Like, they could destroy, they alone could destroy the world, you know.
And you know what? The redundancy, it's one of those things, yeah, that just is so sad, but it's the nature of having to defend, you know, in an escalation of arms race, and, you know, to have more than the next person. But the number of nukes on planet Earth, I forget what we could destroy,
dude,
Earth.
It's outrageous.
Like, it's 10 times
Russians
over
have
or something.
One that is, what is it called? They have a super... nuclear bomb. I forget what it was called. They detonated in like 71. That is the world's largest. It's like the Admiral Kalashnikov or something nuclear bomb. That is, holy crap, man. That thing is terrifying. It's the, out of Google, Russia's largest nuclear bomb. And you're just like, there's no way. Why would you do that? You know, so that's it. I mean, that's the scary thing about it, is they have far more than what, you know, than what we know about. Like, I could be wrong at 54, but it's not because I'm too high.
You know, Derek, so, I'm seeing there's this site that has the world nuclear weapons stockpile, and I'm not sure how accurate it is, but it has each country and how many they have. Russia and USA, of course, almost neck and neck. It says Russia has 6,850.
Yeah.
US, 6,550. France right behind with 300. But Pakistan, it says, has 150, and India, 130.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, that's what I thought at one. Yeah, because that's – and see, the thing about it is, man, that's not like the new technology. That's technology from like the 60s. So, you know, it's not so much as the blast. It's just, it would poison, what was the stat? Something like it would poison India and Pakistan for like 50 years.
Oh,
you
that
know,
wouldn't surprise
incredible.
Me.
And like I said, the population, I have customers from India, and New Delhi is like 11 million people, you know? So, I mean, where are those 11 million people going to go? And these guys have been doing this since the 70s.
Well, yeah, it says 74. Wasn't it 74 the last of that? There have been three battles.
I think it was 71.
Okay, 71.
Yeah, because, you know, the problem stems is that you've got, you know, Hindus.
Well,
and
sure.
Then you've got Muslims, and, you know, Pakistan is just like Iran with Israel. Pakistan wants to drive the Hindus out. So, you know, it's an ideological war that, can it be won?
Yeah, that's the question. So. And they're fighting over an area of the world that human beings have been in and fighting over a long time. Derek, I appreciate the call. I think to hinge off of what Derek said, what a quote from this morning. We didn't do it on the air, but you and I were talking before we went on the air this morning. And I said that Kashmir, the area of Kashmir, makes Jerusalem look like Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is Jerusalem, you could say, is contested by world religions, right? Judaism, Christianity, Islam, all say they got a stake in it. And why compared to Salt Lake City? Salt Lake City is close to a monotheistic place as I can get. I know that is not accurate as well. I know not everybody is LDS in Salt Lake City. I get that. But let's look at Kashmir. Like Derek was right. Hindus, Buddhists, Sikhs, what, the Sivat, Muslim. What am I missing? You could say there's Christian elements during British occupation during the colonial period. But at least I would think five world religions coming together in those mountains. And we see how those mentalities drive violence worldwide. So, that's why I'm paying attention to it, you know, back here at home. I want to read this and we'll come right to the phones. But one text here from Hal, and Hal I know is educated in these things. And he says, I was trained in special weapons. And he put special in parentheses, nearly 30 years ago. Even then, we were told to watch India-Pakistan very closely. Both have nukes and suffer from a high rate of technological accidents. What happens the first time one goes off in either country by accident? They will assume the other did it under fear of use it or lose it and will launch a counterstrike. It's a miracle that neither the U.S. or the USSR ever had an accidental release of nukes. We've come very close on many occasions that he is aware of. All right, to the phones, and let's go to, he will, for a limited period of time, move to the top of the list every time he calls. David in Mobile. Hey, David.
Thank you. Indian Pakistan, the problem with Indian Pakistan is I disagree with Brendan Kirby when he says mutually assured destruction applies there. I disagree because I think those India and Pakistan hate each other more than they love life itself.
Sure.
So they're willing to sacrifice themselves as long as they take a couple of the other guys with them.
Mm-hmm. And you have that deep-seated hate that's gone on. And, you know, these are things that you watch all over the world where you had colonial powers keep things pressed down, and then those new countries spring forth, which I want. I want people to be in their own countries, but they grab as those lines are drawn, right? Then they those lines gerrymander in people that really aren't Pakistani or aren't really Indian. And then you have this mixing area, and these people constantly think, oh, well, that's my land. We should be part of that other country. We shouldn't be part of this country.
Exactly. And like Brendan said yesterday on Twitter, you know, it's all the British fault because of their arbitrary line drawing of their colonial empire when it was disintegrating and setting up new countries.
Like Iraq?
Just like it was in the Middle East.
Yeah, like Iraq.
With those countries. It was arbitrary line drawing. So let's blame it on the British.
Hey, listen, it's probably not too tough to get a guy named Kirby and a guy named Sullivan to blame it on the British. By the way, David is one of the two of y'all that stepped up the biggest to raise money for the float project for Families of the Fallen. He stepped up in a big, big way. Between him and Carter Drain, they raised $1,000 the other
awesome.
Day for those floats. I mean, for those throws on the floats. I hope y'all have gone and seen, and thank you, David. I hope y'all have gone and seen those pictures on our Facebook page. And I put it on the Twitter feed as well, what that looks like, because I got some pictures from my friends with MPD last night where they were stacking the throws up to go put on the float for these families, and it's awesome. It's just it's like a room that's just chock full of boxes and stuffed animals and beads, all this kind of stuff. Y'all go check that out, and it's folks like David that made it happen, and I appreciate it very, very much. Really makes my heart happy to know that float is rolling on Saturday at the head of the floral parade, so let's make sure to give a big cheer. And it's loaded heavy. It's riding heavy. Axles will be as it's rolling with all those throws. A great audience y'all are. Make me so very proud. All right, we'll check the news. Come back to the phones. 343-0106.
836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Thursday. Let's talk with Mitch McConnell from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, big guy?
Doing great. Now, today, the final day of February. That means some end-of-month deals still going on strong at McConnell Automotive.
Absolutely, Dalton. You know, I want buyers of vehicles out there to kind of picture the stock market. You know, that sometimes when you buy and sometimes when you sell, and if you miss a day, you miss out on a lot of money. And really, for GMC and Buick buyers, Dalton, today at McConnell Automotive is the last day to get these deals on. You know, the best example I got, we've been talking about it all week, Dalton, is the Z71s and the crew cabs, the Sierras. And those trucks, normally you might get 10, 11, or 12% off. And right now, this last day, we are giving up to 20% off. So it's just kind of like a $4,000 or $5,000 coupon that you, if you don't cash it in, it expires. So all you got to do is go to our website, Dalton, check it out, you know, which is McConnellAutomotive.com. And some similar savings on the SUVs we have, like Yukons and Acadias, if you're not a truck buyer. So we have 0% for 72 months on things like the Buick Enclave. So it's the last day to get all those deals, big guy. So we're wanting people to take advantage of it.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. We appreciate it.
Y'all have an awesome day, buddy.
You too. That's Mitch McConnell. Make sure you go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. They're on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. The phone number that I would hope you put this in the contacts on your phone. Just put your radio station, FM Talk 106.5, the call Dalton line, whatever you want to call it. Save the number 343-0106, 343-0106. You can text that number or call that number. And we'll grab another call or two on this situation between India and Pakistan right now going on. I know it's a world away, but it's an important place in this world. Number one, I mean, just self-serving. I don't want them to destroy it for many reasons because I don't want human beings to die for it. I also have on my bucket list to go. I would love to go to Kashmir. I'd love to go to the Hindu Kush. The idea of the antiquity, you know, obviously the planet is older than the creatures, but think about walking through a pass there, like in the Hindu Kush, where Alexander the Great walked through with armies. It's just... makes a hair stand up on the back of my neck thinking about that kind of stuff. But then again, I'm, you know, maybe a little weird. But I know we can all probably agree. We don't want those two countries that both have nukes to escalate beyond where they are now. They're shooting down jets. There's gunfire going on the border. Both of them nuclear powers. James the engineer in Mobile checking in next. Hey, James.
Hey, gentlemen. How y'all doing this morning? I wanted to talk about two things, including North Korea, but India and Pakistan. You know, the aggressor we know is probably more Pakistan than India. I don't foresee it going to the nuclear level. We have two, you know, the UN, not that I throw along with all them guys there, but they'll be jumping in the action there right now to try to denuclearize it, so to speak. And, you know, India's not necessarily an aggressor. They, you know, one of their aircrafts got shut down, and a lot of times they do drift over in the no-fly zones. I don't know what the lines would be on the no-fly right there, but that has a lot to do with it. If they had created a situation, boom, and, of course, then the retaliation back and forth, and I believe it's just going to muster out eventually. Both of them, I mean, more India than Pakistan, they like the commerce. They like the money. I think part of this is getting the world attention, and there'll be some sort of, you know, in that area right there, somebody's going to compensate, and it'll be all kind of fizzled out in a few weeks or a
couple
months.
Right. I hope you're right. I pray you're right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I just said pray you're right. I pray you're right.
Well, I was going to say about North Korea, you know, I think this is the beginning, kind of like with Cuba. I really do. I really think he's kind of softened up a little bit over there. I do believe he was in fear of the United States going over there for humanitarian reasons and kind of occupying. I really believe that's what he believed. Of course, it takes time for everything to be convincing to people, and I think eventually before Trump leaves office, he will sign some sort of agreement with North Korea, which would be great.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call. Now, of course, you know, then we'd have to sign but verify with the North Koreans. I don't trust it. I tell you what I think is a positive. First of all, my beef was, you know, you see the social media, and you know, social media, the loudest voices on social media don't always represent what regular folks are thinking. But some of these loud voices that are trolling with this, what, Trump fail this morning?
Yeah, it was the number one trending topic on Twitter. But hashtag just, Trump fail.
But just last time they were trending with, you know, I don't know what the hashtag was, but they were lamenting the fact he's negotiating with a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting down talking to, which one is it? You have what? And while if you, I would have been, I'd have fallen clean out of this chair if they would have said, okay, there it is. We're deduking. Everything's good and squared away. I mean, like James says, I mean, there's a negotiation process here. I think the takeaway from this, of course, it was two things. One thing I liked, and you and I talked about this morning before we got started, that President Trump said, man, no deal. Walk away.
He said he's never afraid to walk away from a deal.
You said something that I thought was so important this morning. You said in the past, leaders have done what?
Well, I mean, we've seen it with presidents in the past that they are so wanting to have their, you know, accomplishments in the headlines. They want to win that Nobel Peace Prize. They want to just have something nice said about them in national media that they'll agree to stuff, even if it's not necessarily for the betterment of the country.
Not a good deal.
No, not a good deal.
So that's negotiation. Somebody, I think they were on Twitter saying, well, how's the art of the deal there? Part of the art of the deal, and I've never even read his book there, but I'll go to my just hayseed art of the deal, like buying a 10-speed bike. If the price that they're stuck on is higher than you're willing to pay than the bike is worth, then you say, eh, can't do it. Good luck. Hope you sell it to somebody else.
You've got to have some kind of leverage, right? And,
yeah.
And if they know that you want a deal badly enough that you're willing to accept a bad deal, you know, if you want to buy that truck badly enough
mm-hmm.
and the buyer knows that you want that truck, they're not going to give it to you for cheaper than they can make
That's
off
right.
of it.
That's
they're,
right.
They're going to give you a higher price. And if you pay for it, well, that's on you. You might have gotten the truck, but it's a bad deal.
I would say that for whatever, and that is not partisan. I know so much everything today is only say that about, Republican president, only say that about Democrat president. I'd say it about any of them that would be in a negotiation. If the deal's not good, sometimes you got to just say no. And maybe you come back to, maybe you never come back to the bargaining table where you're still at status quo, which I got another point on that, but maybe you do come back to the bargaining table and make some further inroads and find some way, some deal that's acceptable to both sides. The takeaway for me, as somebody who wants to keep peace on the planet, same thing that worries me about the situation between India and Pakistan. I don't like to hear sabers rattled. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of that. I know too many folks that had to go carry those sabers, right? And I know they're ready at all times to go do it, but I want them to do the least amount of that as possible. you look at the situation coming out of this meeting in Hanoi. There's going to be, you heard the news say there's going to be a liaison of sorts between the United States and North Korea. I don't know if there's going to be a permanent diplomatic post in Pyongyang and one maybe in Washington or something like that, or some kind of regular emissary going back and forth. But the more time we can spend with them, know them, I think that helps move the doomsday clock back. Maybe it's just a few seconds. But those things, when you're talking about nuclear powers, the more you could just not have them as a two-dimensional character. Now, the three-dimension of Un is probably not a very pretty three-dimension.
No.
But if we have some more communication with them, it makes me feel that we're better off than we were without that communication.
Any chance that that liaison used to play basketball for the Chicago Bulls?
You think it's Dennis Rodman?
It could be Dennis Rodman.
Because he wished President Trump good luck, remember?
I do remember that. And so. Dennis Rodman, for a while, was the only American allowed into North Korea. He became friendly with Kim Jong-un.
Such a weird story, man.
It's so weird. But, you know, I've seen a lot of people rip President when he says nice things about Kim Jong-un. I know in his press conference he said that he doesn't even think that Kim Jong-un was aware that Otto Warm Beer was being, beaten like he was and tortured. And I think it's such a fine line because he's trying to strike a deal here. So if he's meeting at the bargaining table
uh-huh.
and then turning around.
Buttering him up.
And yeah, that's exactly what I feel
hot
he's
buttered,
doing.
Hot so, buttered un.
Right. And all these Twitter fingers mm-hmm. out there that are, you know, have opinions without knowing what's actually going in and going on in the gritty details of all this, I don't know, just a lot of speculation out there.
I tell you, let's play the ridiculous game. And the ridiculous game would be if it meant, and I don't know how you do this, because I just do not trust the North Koreans, even if we go down through a deal with them, that what they tell us is going to be the truth. But let's say we knew it would be. And they make a deal to denuclearize North Korea, denuclearized Korean Peninsula. They get rid of all nukes, all production. And part of the deal is that we need to have a Kim Jong-un parade in Washington. Ooh. To celebrate Kim Jong-un. This is where my idealism has been worn away by the decades. I would throw the man a parade.
Really?
If it meant that the nukes were gone, we could truly, would you, if you knew for sure, the nukes were gone for North Korea, okay? They were not, and they're never going to be a nuclear power again. I would give taxpayer dollars to have a parade go through Washington to celebrate Kim Jong-un.
That might be a step too far.
Well, what would you rather have? No parade for Kim Jong-un and the North Koreans with nukes, or would you rather have a non-nuclear North Korea and Kim Jong-un parade? Think about a big papier-mâché Kim Jong-un rolling through.
Yeah, well, you know.
I'd go. If it meant that they truly did not have nukes, I'd go to the parade.
Yeah, if we could do that with India and Pakistan, too, that'd be nice. Just go ahead and take those three countries.
You say have, like, a really big parade with all...
Maybe a Mardi Gras parade.
Yeah, we could have... I mean, just here's a parade to your favorite totalitarian dictators, something like that. And if that meant that they all would denuclearize, I might just say yes.
I'm not sure anyone would show up except the people that wear the Che Guevara t-shirts, the hipsters that love putting these people on a pedestal.
Good. They show up saying put a foot in their backside. All right. 847 FM Talk 1065. It's Mobile Mornings coming right back. Right, 852 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings on a Thursday. Stripers roll tonight, 6:30. Also, Mark Mobile, they're parading today at, I think it's 1 o'clock. So something, how many, it's been 20-something years of this. This is really cool. It goes 1 o'clock today, 37th annual Mardi Gras Parade for Mobile Arc Association. That's at the Gordon Smith Center. That happens at 1. Of course, more information on parades and archived, podcastable Moon Pie Minutes waiting for you on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Right, also Navy ships, Coast Guard ship coming in for Mardi Gras. And this is pretty cool. Tomorrow, one of the crew of the Navy ship that's coming in, Commander Master Chief Antonio Perryman, who is coming in not just to see this city called Mobile. He's coming home. He's got a bunch of different activities he's doing. They got the parades and all the things. But in addition, he's going to be hosting Navy Day at his alma mater, Murphy High School.
Awesome.
So Panthers, that's happening, I think, today. And then he'll be joining us tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. So he'll be in here. I think he and I are close to the same age. I think 89 he enlisted. So it'll be interesting to hear what he's seen and a bunch of different deployments, a bunch of places. And he's one of a lot of folks with some Gulf Coast roots that are coming in between the Coast Guard and the Navy here for Mardi Gras. Of course, as always, let's show them a great, great time while they're in town. And we'll have that link up. If we haven't already, we'll put the link up on the Facebook page mm-hmm. where the people can go. I think it starts on Saturday, or maybe it's tomorrow, where you can go do the tour of the ship. There's like a morning window, then it's they're closed down for a couple hours, and then in the afternoon you can also go tour the ships, which is pretty awesome if you've ever gotten on one of those and taken a look around. All right. Well, thanks. Some people are following me, some people are not. George says Mardi Gras saves the world. Thanks, Sean. Good job. Listen, whatever parade it would be, I'm just saying that. Sure, it sounds flippant, but in a negotiation process, I don't know. I mean, because the easy thing to say is, President Trump is a totalitarian because he likes other totalitarian leaders. I can make that argument too. For fun, I can make that argument. Oh, look, it birds of a feather. I get it. At the same time, is it worth, to me, I don't care if he butters him up. If he I mean, like hot drawn butter, but I mean, figuratively, butters up Kim Jong-un and makes him feel like he's a great guy and everybody loves him. If that means he denuclearizes, which I still don't think, I'm not naive enough to think he's just going to do that. But if he did, I'd take it. I'd throw him the Kim Jong-un parade.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'd rather him have some kind of fake idea that people love him and have no nukes in North Korea.
Just the pride of America. How far are we willing to? Because you are bowing down. You are on your knees if you do that. You know, for the fate of the world now, mm-hmm. 20 warheads is the count that most sites have with North Korea. 20 warheads not enough to, you know, completely abolish the entire world.
Yeah, but what does that do with China, Big Brother China?
Mm-hmm.
And bring them in. You're telling me, so they strike, and then we strike. You're telling me China didn't strike? Come on.
Yeah,
I get it. Believe me, I'm beyond a proud American, right? I'm about as, I think in my the way I see the world, I'm pretty incredibly patriotic.
Yeah, for sure.
At the same time, if it meant, even it's just a silly exercise here, this is just a front porch discussion. If it meant throwing in one parade to say, yeah, you're great, Kim Jong-un, and there were no nukes there, I'd do it.
But yeah, I mean, it's a small price, but it's a big price at the same time, because that would be America bowing down to a dictator,
Listen, it has been, you know, it's not policy, but it has been done before. And in that case, I'd be completely guilty of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not, no joke, I'd be very, very guilty of giving a false celebration for Kim Jong-un. But I'd also tell y'all, as soon as we got done with the parade, I'd say, and he doesn't have any more nukes.
Mm-hmm. And I would hope most Americans would realize that would be the entire reason. And, you know, this is just an exercise to see how far America would be willing to go to denuclearize North Korea. But I would hope that most Americans would realize that was the plan all along, which they clearly wouldn't, because the top trending topic on Twitter right now is Trump fail.
There you go. So what would, you know, and this is so simplistic of an argument, but we could, if you could do the DeLorean time machine here and go back and put the same situation and have former President Obama in the situation, would you have all the tides turn? The people that are decrying Trump and saying it's a fail be talking about how great it is, and the people that are celebrating Trump right now saying it would be a fail. If it was former President Obama doing this right now and we had gotten this liaison facility between the two, I'd say that's a success.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I don't care who the people are. I'm a rule of law and a patriot, not a cult of personality person. I just want the nukes gone. All right. Hey, coming up today on Midday Mobile, joining us in the first hour of the show of Midday Mobile, Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson. So Mayor Stimson's going to be on. So if you got questions for the mayor, you can go ahead and start texting those in to 343-0106, 343-0106. Get those ready. And also a reminder here, and I'll wait for you till after Mardi Gras, because I know you're busy during Mardi Gras. If you're riding, Get the junk that you can throw off the float, the stuffed animals or whatever, throw that stuff off the float, and then what's left in the junk, get my buddy Trey Bennett to get rid of it as we get to Ash Wednesday. You made that resolution to get organized in your home, in your office, at the shop, wherever it is, in 2019. Well, we're almost to March here, people. Get that appointment set, and they actually do set appointment times with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll give you a day, give you time if you agree on it. That's when they show up and they get the work done quickly. You need junk gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey Bennett, local franchisee, Mobile, Baldwin County. You see his trucks everywhere. You need to make that call. Got junk. You got a storage unit, and you're paying on it every month. And the stuff in there is junk. I've seen it. I saw your storage unit. It's junk. Get rid of it. Pick up the phone. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online and check them out at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. But yeah, set that. Do it Ash Wednesday. Do it Thursday, whatever. And get through Mardi Gras. All right. Speaking of which, you can keep up with what's going on Mardi Gras-wise on our website, fmtalk1065.com. All right, Dalton, we good?
We're good.
Okay, I'm going to start working on the parade stuff.
All right, I'm going to line bike out of here.
There you go. You line bike out while I do a paper mache of Kim Jong-un.
Perfect. Cool. Buttery, right?
But delicious and buttery.